Thank you, Jason. What a great, great song. I hope you have your Bibles with you, and if you do, please turn back again to 1 Corinthians 15, and then keep something in 1 Corinthians 15, because we're going to be moving around and looking at some other scriptures, but we'll always come back to 1 Corinthians 15. We've already read the scriptures, so I won't reread them right now, so let's just bow in a word of prayer together, please. Father, what a blessing it's been to be in this place today with all the blessings you've bestowed upon us. Thank you for the sweet fellowship. Thank you for the good music. And now we come down to the preaching of your word. And I pray that you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst. I pray you'll keep folks' minds from wandering and they'll concentrate on the preaching of your word. I pray you'd thank you that your word never returns void. Pray you'll save them who may be lost in this auditorium. Reclaim those who may be backslidden, and do a work in everyone's heart, beginning with mine. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice again with me 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. Some of these people at Corinth had said to Paul, there is no such thing as a resurrection from the dead. Verse 12 makes it clear that there were some who denied the resurrection. Look at verse 12 again. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? Then Paul says, I want to show you what be true if there were no resurrection from the dead. Not only were there people at Corinth who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, but there has always been people who did not believe in the resurrection. I want you to keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians 15 and go way back to the other end of the Bible, the front of the Bible, to Job chapter 14. Job 14, you'll find that on page 578 in your King James Scofield Bible. Job 14. This is the oldest book in the Bible. And when you come to the book of Job, Job asks a question that every person who has ever lived or ever will live has either asked or thought about. And look in verse number 14 of Job 14. If a man die, shall he live again? Even then, men were debating. If a man die, will he live again? If a man die, will he ever come out of the grave? Is there any such thing as a resurrection from the dead? It's the oldest question ever pondered by human minds. It's the oldest question ever debated by human beings. If a man die, shall he live again? You find in the Bible that there were people who didn't believe in the resurrection. These people were constant thorns in the side of Jesus. The Sadducees, a wicked, sinful sect, said, we don't believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they are sad, you see. Now turn with me back to the New Testament again, to Luke chapter 8 this time, page 1085, Luke's Gospel and the 8th chapter. You find here in Luke chapter 8 an instance of a little 12-year-old girl who had died, an only child of wealthy parents. Jesus took the parents along with Peter, James, and John, went into a room, secluded himself from all the other followers. And then he said, look at Luke chapter 8, verses 52 and 53. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Jesus said, don't weep over this child who has died. And the people began to laugh. What can you do about death? Here is the Son of God, the resurrection, the author of life. And they laughed at him. They said, you can't raise a body from the dead. There's no such thing as one dead coming back to life again. Now look over and continue in verse 54. And he put them all out and called unto her by the hand and called, saying, maid or child, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. There have always been enemies to the resurrection of the human body. There's always been enemies to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When he was crucified, two well-to-do men, both of whom had been saved, came and begged the body of Jesus. He was not placed in the potter's field because Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea and a fulfillment of Bible prophecy that he would be numbered with the rich in his death. So they came, they got permission to take the body of Jesus, and they took it out to bury it in a tomb. Now, keeping your finger 1 Corinthians chapter 15, go back to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, page 1043. Matthew 27. When the body was suffered to the kind hands of those surrendered, they surrendered his body, they gave his body over to Nicodemus and Joseph and other those women there. Notice what the enemy said in Matthew 27 and verse number 63. Saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.'" Talking about Jesus, they said, "Now this deceiver said, 'I'm going to rise again.'" Well, they didn't believe in any resurrection. They said, "We don't want any resurrection, and we'll not have any resurrection." These Roman soldiers said, "We'll stand at the door of the tomb, and we'll make sure he never comes out of that tomb again." So you see, people have always doubted. People hated the glorious, wonderful day we're celebrating today, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now back to 1 Corinthians 15. So Paul at Corinth said, "But if there be no resurrection..." The greatest "if" in human language is found in this passage of Scripture. If there be no resurrection. So I want to show you folks on this Easter Sunday morning 2013 some facts that hold to be true if there be no resurrection. If there be no resurrection, the resurrection of Christ would be a fallacy. In the first place, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then it stands to reason that Jesus did not arise. If there's no such thing as the human body coming out of the grave, then the resurrection, the personal, bodily, literal, physical resurrection of Jesus Christ would be nothing in the world but a fallacy. Think what the resurrection means. First of all, the resurrection proves his dying on the cross paid our sin debt for us. He cried on that cross, "It is finished." He claimed that on the cross the sins of the world were to be laid upon him. The Bible does say that God laid upon him the sins and iniquities of us all. 3 days before this, robed in blood, crowned with thorns, he claims to die for the sins of the world. If there had been no resurrection, the redemptive work of Jesus would have been set at naught and proven to be a fallacy. Because the Bible says, "Who was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification." Now keep your finger there and go back to Matthew again, the 16th chapter, page number 1022. Matthew 16, page 1022. And look at verse number 22. Matthew chapter 16, let's look at verse 21. "From that time forth began Jesus showing his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." If Jesus Christ didn't arise on the third day, I'm not going to believe that he died for my sins. The two go together. His resurrection is God's amen to his death on the cross. While Jesus was alive, you remember that he said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Jesus said, "3 days and three nights I will be in the grave, but after that I'm coming out." And Jesus came forth. If he didn't come forth as he promised, he's the world's greatest imposter. All of the Christian system of truth tumbles if the resurrection goes down. But again and again and again and again, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is taught in the Bible. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was demonstrated in the Old Testament. There were three resurrections of people in the Old Testament. If there is no resurrection, we have no Bible. We might as well throw it away and go home. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then all of his words would become meaningless and fraudulent. Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. He said to Mary and Martha, whose brother lay beyond the cold grave and death, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never, ever die. What a promise. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 15 again. And look with me at verse number 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Have you ever thought about the preaching this old world has had? Noah preached for 120 years. Moses lived 120 years, and for 40 years he preached the truth of God every day. Elijah was a preacher. Elisha was a preacher. Ezekiel was a preacher. Isaiah was a preacher. Jeremiah was a preacher, and he wept as he preached. Jonah was a preacher. John Wesley was a preacher. Whitfield was a preacher. D.L. Moody was a preacher. And there are 400,000 preachers in America today and thousands of others around the world. I preached now for nearly 40 years. That's well over 5,000 sermons. But stop and think. Paul said, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then your preaching is vain. Do you remember what Jesus' last words were? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. If there is no resurrection, then all of the preaching in all the world, in all the ages, is nothing but vain. Look again at 1 Corinthians 15 where you've kept your finger, and then back up to your left to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And look at verse number 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Then I want you to notice what the Spirit-filled Paul said over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you'll go over there with me, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4, page 1281 in your Scofield Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse number 2. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. We have a command here. Preach the word. Preach the word if there's 20 in church or if there's 200 in church. Preach the word if nobody shows up. Preach the word if it's 100 degrees below zero. Preach the word if it's snowing or raining. Just preach the word. That's a command in the Bible. But if there's no resurrection, it's worthless. It's meaningless. Then next, if there be no resurrection, faith becomes an empty dream. Look back at 1 Corinthians 15 again and look at verse number 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. If there's no resurrection, there's nothing to believe in. Vain means absolutely meaningless. The Bible says that we have to have faith to be saved. Look back into Ephesians chapter number 2. To your right, just a little bit where you're keeping your finger. Ephesians chapter 2, page 1251. And look beginning in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says you have to have faith to please God. Go over with me to Hebrews chapter number 11, page number 1301. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. If there's no resurrection, then your faith is in vain. Well, thank God this morning our faith is not in vain. It is in a Jesus who lives. It's in a Jesus who conquered death. It is in a Jesus who rose from the grave. Somebody out there ought to say amen. Amen. Then go back to 1 Corinthians 15 again and look at verse number 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If there was no resurrected Christ, then the Bible is full of false witnesses. But Paul said, I saw him. John said, I saw him. Peter said, I saw him. Stephen said, I saw him. And 500 people at one time said, we saw him. The Bible says if there's no resurrection of the dead, then all of them are false witnesses. Then in the next place, there will be no resurrection. If there be no resurrection, we are all yet in our sins. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Some folks have asked, if Christ died for our sins on the cross, but did not rise from the dead, would we still be in our sins? That's what God said. It's not what I think. It's not what you think. It's not what anybody else thinks. It's what God says. Notice verse 17 again. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. If you will see in the Bible what it takes to be saved, then you'll know why this is true. We quote Romans chapter 10. I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 10 for just a moment. Page 1204, Romans chapter 10. We quote verses 9 and 10 here quite regularly, but I wonder if we really understand these verses. Romans 10, look at verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If there is no resurrection on this Easter Sunday morning, you and me and all the world, we're still in our sins. Then in the next place, back to 1 Corinthians 15 again, and notice verse number 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If there is no resurrection, forget about your loved ones who preceded you to glory. Forget about that dad or mom or husband or wife or brother or sister or daughter. If there's no resurrection, you'll never see them again. Paul so often in his writings would say, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And Paul, in talking about those who died in Christ, says this. Back up, keep your finger there and back up to your left to 1 Thessalonians chapter 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 16. To your right, actually, from where you were in 2 Timothy. 1 Thessalonians, great, great verses, some of my favorite verses in the Bible. That'll be on page 1269. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. The next major event on God's calendar, by the way. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But if there's no resurrection, then all of our loved ones are perished. If there's no resurrection, I'll never see my mom and dad again. I'll never see little Donnie Edward Chase again. I'll never see the 500 people of 500 funerals that I've had through these past 40 years. I'll never see them again. I think about them so often. I want to see them so bad. But if there's no resurrection, I have no hope of seeing them again. Well, thank God on this Easter Sunday morning, because Jesus arose, our loved ones have not perished. And I thank God for that sweet, wonderful hope of a reunion in glory with all of those who have preceded us in death and those who have died with faith in Christ. Finally, if there be no resurrection, we are of all men most miserable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, why do you suppose Paul made that statement? There has never been a Christian that has suffered for Christ like Paul did. Thinking about how he had been shipwrecked, beaten many times, imprisoned often, ridiculed, Paul said, if there's no resurrection, if there's no life hereafter, if there's not somewhere where everything is made right, I'm the most miserable man in all the world to take all that I've taken, to suffer all that I've suffered, if there's no life beyond the grave. But, verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Yes, dear folks, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The tomb is empty. I've been there. I've been inside that tomb. I've seen the empty tomb. And a big sign over the top says, "He's not here. He is risen as he said." Let's bow in prayer together, please. Father in heaven, we thank you that we know the truth and we believe the truth. We have no doubts about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day all of us are going to be resurrected also because he was resurrected. Some are going to be resurrected into eternal life, while others will be resurrected to eternal death. And I wonder about all the folks here this morning, in which place are they? Have they accepted Christ and going to heaven? Or have they rejected him and are going to hell? I pray that none in this auditorium this morning will leave without knowing for sure that they put their faith and trust in Christ. While our heads are bowed and while our eyes are closed when nobody's looking around, I wonder, have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? Do you believe that he's the Son of God and God the Son? Do you believe he was a virgin born? Do you believe that he died on an old rugged cross and paid your sin debt in full, shed his precious blood for you? Do you believe that? If you believe that, then there's one more step to take. You got to receive him. But as many as received him, to them and only to them, gave he the right or the power or the authority to become sons and daughters of God. If you're not sure you've ever received him, where you're sitting in this auditorium silently, breathe a little prayer from your heart to God's heart and just say something like this: "Dear God in heaven, I realize I'm a sinner. I believe Christ died on the cross and paid my sin debt for me. I believe he was raised from the dead. And I'm trusting in Christ and Christ alone for my salvation. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart and into my life and take away my sins and give me a home in heaven when life is over for me." While our heads are still bowed and our eyes are still closed, I wonder, maybe, did someone pray that prayer for the first time? I prayed that prayer with you. Would you just slip up your hand so I can see it? I prayed that prayer. I'm accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for our precious Savior. Thank you for the celebration that we're going to do on this great, great day. I pray you'd bless the invitation. I pray you'll help folks make decisions that 100 years from now they'll be glad they made. In Jesus' name, amen.